Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege to be here with you this morning. I thought maybe before the message I could just make a few comments, report. You mentioned your school teacher needs. We're also needing a teacher. Special ed teacher does not have to be bilingual, can be English speaking only for a school term beginning February or March, going through November for our local school there. So if you know of anybody who might be interested, please contact one of us. Also, the notice there on the flooding from Hurricane Eta. Of course, I've been up here, so I'm not, have not experienced the storm firsthand, but down in the lowlands, it's been tremendous flooding and a big opportunity. And we're looking at it as a great opportunity for our local church people to reach out to their fellow countrymen, for our churches to reach out. It's about, I think they set up a base about an hour and a half away from Siguatepeque. But now there's also another storm that appears to be pretty much the same, and appears to be taking pretty much the same trajectory. That, you know, the last one was, what, 10 days ago or so, and this week there's another one. They expect it to be about a Category 3 when it hits the coast, very near the same spot, taking about the same course. So we're praying that that would just veer north. You know, it's not too big for God, but maybe he wants us to have more opportunity, but it could be real devastation with already saturated soils and another hit. So you can pray for that. Pray for the people there. Pray for the church. Up in the mountains, we didn't get affected much, except for, 11 inches of rain in 1 week or so, but it runs off, but then it accumulates in the lowlands. And, of course, the road damage and landslides. We have plans, Lord willing, to return to Honduras Saturday and Sunday. Tickets got changed from Thursday because the airport is that we were going to fly into, San Pedro Sula, is out of commission for at least a month, is what they expect. And now with another storm, don't know. But anyway, we switched airports, plan to fly back next weekend. So if you could pray for our trip. Also, we, as part of that, we need to take tests for COVID to return. So we're praying that we'll, all 10 of us will test negative and be able to travel together as a family. So if you can join us in prayer, we'd appreciate that. And also because of that, we're thinking maybe best if we would, my wife and I would just avoid the Christian greeting this morning, even though that's awkward, but just thought maybe it would be good to take precautions, extra precautions. Also some visitation I want to do this week, so appreciate your interest in prayer, in those few needs. Especially think of the work in Honduras, the cleanup, the opportunities there. We don't know what all God has in it for the church, but I believe it is an opportunity to reach out and an opportunity for our local churches to grow in conviction, grow in servanthood, grow in many areas that we don't foresee. This time I'd like to go into the message. I'd like to think this morning, thinking about being disciples of Jesus, not the whole message focus, but just as a thought that we as Christians understand that the word Christians means little Christs, disciples, imitators of Jesus. And I believe that's something that should affect every single area of our life. And I'd like to just with that in mind, think about maybe a narrow focus this morning, but think about what if Jesus had waited until 2020 to come as the Messiah? Now, obviously, all of history would be rewritten the last 2,000 years because Christianity has written history. But supposing The world is somewhat as we know it, and Jesus waited till today, till 2020, to come as the Messiah of the world. What would his ministry look like with all the transportation possibilities we have, with the communication capabilities? How would Jesus' ministry look? And I'm not sure that I have a real good picture exactly. I don't know what all he would choose to do, where all he would choose to travel in a 3-year ministry. Would he try to cover most of the world? Would he still stay local and train in? I don't know. How would he disciple his followers? But I ask that question because we are disciples of Jesus. And thinking about this message, it's true that Jesus is God. And so there's some things, and his purpose on earth was a very defined purpose. And perhaps his purpose for us is slightly different, but yet we're disciples of Jesus. We are to imitate our master. We are to try to learn to think as he would think, to do as he would do, to speak as he would speak, to live with purpose as he lived with a purpose. And there's many of us here this morning, many of you that are much older than I am and remember things much earlier than I do, but there are those of us here who remember life before personal computers. There may be a few here that lived before computers. I don't remember when the first computer was invented. But that many of us that remember life before personal computers, perhaps remember that first household computer. And then many who remember life before laptops. There are those who remember life before cell phones. Many who remember life before smartphones. But then there are those here who do not remember life before that, before any of those. Just for interest's sake, how many of you have never owned a smartphone, those of you that carry a phone, that have never owned a smartphone? Please raise your hand. Are you saying that everybody here owns a smartphone? I see at least one person. Okay. How many of you got a smartphone as your first phone? Raise your hand. Much smaller group. How many of you had a smartphone at one time but chose to step back and use a regular phone? Dumb phone, we call them sometimes. Anybody here that has stepped back from that? So most of us here got a regular phone, a non-smartphone, as our first phone, transitioned to a smartphone, and never stepped back. All of us become fairly comfortable with a norm, with a new normal, and especially in this line, speaking of smartphones, some of us are much more comfortable to just use it in a very limited way, and it looks too big to try to figure out all the newest features, and so we don't bother. We use it in a very limited way, almost like a regular phone, if you want to call it that. Some use them more. Some of them learn some of the new features, but are much more slow to learn them. But like them when they can figure them out. Some embrace them fully and know just about everything there is to do on it. When the newest phone comes out, you know what features they have, and you want to try them out. And we become comfortable, or we can become comfortable with a new norm. And I ask a question, are we willing to have that norm challenged this morning? And my title this morning is, If Jesus Had Carried a Smartphone. If Jesus Had Carried a Smartphone. Back to our hypothetical situation, if Jesus had come in 2020 and carried out his ministry today, and I'll admit in preparing for this, at some point the question kept coming up, would Jesus have carried a smartphone? But we are going to assume, and that's probably a valid question, we are going to assume that Jesus would have chosen to carry a smartphone and would like to, can we learn from Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, how would he have handled that device? And I have one. And I'll be the first to admit, that this message has been a real challenge to me. And it's so easy, and I did preach this in Mount Joy 2 weeks ago. It was very much on my mind. And it was very easy to slide back into old habits. But in thinking about this message, pretty often, when I have my phone in front of my face, I would think about this question. Am I using it as Jesus would have used it? And I hope this morning I can burn in your minds that same question. And not only in smartphone use, but in every area of life. This is one narrow area of life, but it's become an increasingly broader part of our lives. I'd like to go to Deuteronomy 6. But we have some warnings that I think fit our current life. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 to 15. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware. Beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Here's a warning to those of us who have inherited what we've inherited. When you've been given these things, we worked for it, but really, we've been given circumstances, we've been given conditions, we've been given opportunities that we did not work for. And when you have eaten and are full, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God. And you start to run after the other gods. How does a god affect a person's life? A god affects every area of our lives. A god affects our thought patterns. A god affects our life. Our life conforms to the concept of who our God is. It consumes our thoughts and our energy. We devote time to our God. We make sacrifices to please or to follow our God, whoever our God is. And he said, beware lest you forget the Lord your God and you follow after the gods of the land. And we have so many gods that we could follow around us. And Jesus gave us the example of the parable of the the soil, the four types of soil. He talked about the stony ground that was a shallow commitment, a shallow, the word fell on stony ground and it sprung up and there was an emotional response. Sounded good, sounded exciting, we liked it. But then there was no root. The ground was stony, there was no root. And when the test came, it withered away. And then he gave the example of the thorny ground, the thorns, the briars. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And the I add in there the distractions of life. How does this have to do with, if Jesus had carried a smartphone, I think it has everything to do with it. Because it becomes increasingly a part of our life. An increasing distraction, an increasing opportunity to be a god to us. So let's look at Jesus' life. Let's look at Jesus' teaching, first of all. And then before we go into some practical things, ways that this affects the way you and I, as disciples of Jesus, should use a smartphone. The way we should approach life in general, but the way we, specifically this morning, I want to focus on this device that has such a tendency to distract us from our purpose in life as disciples of Jesus. But looking at what did Jesus teach? How did Jesus live? What was his purpose in life? Just principles, concepts, examples from Jesus. First of all, we see Jesus preached transformation. He preached, ye must be born again. A transformed life, not a conformed life to the world, but born again into a new life. Transformation. Jesus preached transparency. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. And this one's very much a hard one sometimes. We like our privacy. We like, it's my life. Don't touch it. No, Jesus preached, he cometh to the light. We come forth voluntarily. We are willing to expose ourselves to our brother, to those who can help us. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Transparency. Jesus taught, I receive not honor from men. Taught humility. He taught a God focus. Jesus did not look for status symbols to define his life or define his ministry. I receive not honor from men. Deliberate effort not to seek man's praise, but rather God's purpose, God's glory, God's desires. Jesus preached eternal goals. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Put your efforts into that which is for eternal, that which endureth unto everlasting life. Eternal goals. Again, let me remind you, we're thinking, what did Jesus teach as our master? And as disciples of Jesus, we want to follow him. And if Jesus had carried a smartphone with these things in mind, how would he have used it? Jesus taught a God priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Above all, the kingdom of God. Jesus taught purity. Jesus taught guarded eyes. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Purity. Jesus taught that true rest is found in him rather than in worldly distractions. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. True rest is found in Christ, not in distracting ourselves. Jesus taught every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He taught careful, godly words. Now, what is in our heart is going to be revealed by what we speak. May I add, what we text, what we message, what we... Jesus taught a willingness to give up earthly things for a greater spiritual good. If thy hand or the foot offend thee, cut them off. If it is an offense, cut it off. Willingness to sacrifice. Willing to give up something that may be legitimate, but if it's a cause for me to stumble, to willing to step back and say, I give it up. I'm better off living without it than losing my soul. Jesus taught that the purpose of his life was, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And that's the ultimate sacrifice. Selfless, sacrificial love and burden for lost souls. That was Jesus' purpose. And we were part of that purpose. That he gave up everything for me. He didn't need to do that. Am I his disciple? Jesus also taught prioritizing his work within limitations. At one point, he was in a city, and they pled with him, stay with us longer. And he said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for there too, therefore am I sent. He chose to live within the limitations that his human body gave him. And then he chose to prioritize and to realize that he could not multitask as in the same way he could have had he not chosen to come in physical limitations of a human body. And so he said, I must preach the word. He chose to limit, to prioritize his work within his limitations. And so with all these teachings of Jesus in mind, as our master and we as disciples, I would like to raise a lot of questions this morning that I think will help us to guide our thoughts to how Jesus would have. Perhaps we'll look more at how he would not have used the smartphone. It's easier to do that. But I think it will help to guide our minds. I hope it guides our minds, and I hope it guides your minds to thinking, if Jesus had carried a smartphone, how he would have used it. And how he would that you and I would use it. Even the world knows that there are many effects that our electronic devices have on our thought patterns, on our habits, life habits, on our relationships. And I don't think it's at all out of place for the church to raise those concerns and much more. I believe it's the place in the place for us as church leaders, as parents, to be thinking about these things. And young people, many of you have never known life without a smartphone. Possibly even your parents had one as your first memories. I had the dates written down when they first came out. I forget. Maybe it was 2007. So maybe it's the younger people that remember the first phone they remember was a smartphone of their parents. But it's very relatively young, relatively new invention. But even secular writers, secular people recognize the change in society that happens. But how, if Jesus had carried a smartphone, how would he have handled it? And you and I as disciples, how should we do so? How should we follow his example? Now, one of the challenges we face is the master-servant relationship. If Jesus had carried a smartphone, would he control it as its master? Or would he be controlled by it as its servant? Would he be the phone's master, or would he be a servant? Maybe you don't struggle with this. Maybe I'm the only one. But would he be controlled by the urge, the impulse, a notification comes in, just got to pick it up, got to interrupt what I'm doing to do it? Can you imagine if he was seated with his disciples teaching them and notification? Ah, excuse me. Somebody from Jerusalem and I'm in Galilee. Well, that's a challenge we face. Am I the phone's master? Is it my servant? Is it a tool that I use in the kingdom of God? Or is it my master, and have I become its servant? And if I have become its servant, at what point has it become my God? Sobering questions. Another thing we face, and it's many of these tie together somewhat, but it's time, the matter of time. How much time would Jesus spend on his smartphone? You know that usage tracker that you can get? Sometimes it's an additional app, sometimes it's a built-in. How many hours you spent, screen time you spent. How much time do you think that would read on Jesus' phone at the end of the day? How much time would Jesus spend reading the news? Given Jesus' teaching on kingdom, on the kingdom of God, how much time would he spend keeping up with the politics? How much time would he spend browsing the home decoration ideas and or socializing with friends in Galilee while sitting in Jerusalem? How much time would he go socializing late into the night or mindless browsing late into the night? We have his example of praying all night, of getting up early to pray. How much time would Jesus spend keeping current with everybody's updates, statuses, blogs, pictures from across the world? We don't have much record of Jesus' youth, of his time before his ministry. But would Jesus have stopped his carpenter work every 20 minutes to check if anything new came on the phone? How much time would he have taken from his employer? And then we start to get a mental image, don't we? What would Jesus have done with that phone? How much time would he have used it? How much mindless browsing? Another challenge we face is the selfie culture, which the word selfie didn't exist till a few years ago when they put a camera on the face side of the phone instead of the back side, and you could take a picture of yourself. And that word eventually hit the dictionaries. The word in itself describes what it's all about. But what I call the selfie culture, I don't know if it's the proper term, but how many updates and statuses would Jesus post about himself and about his own work and about his activities for the day? Now, granted, he taught his purpose. He taught about himself because he was the answer. And perhaps this needs to be projected to us as disciples of Jesus and how he trained his disciples and taught them. The answer is in Jesus. The answer was not in Brother Paul, Brother Peter, or Brother John, or Brother James. And as their master, as disciples of Jesus, they were taught to show the world that he was the answer. But how much do you think Jesus would have posted about himself? Healed this crippled boy today. Blessed this poor child. Leaving for Africa today. Great boat ride. How much do you think Jesus really would have been posting about himself and his activities? And we are disciples of Jesus. How many comics or jokes would he post and forward? And did Jesus have a sense of humor? I believe he did. Some of his parables show maybe not directly like we think of, but his was it a joking? Was it a comedian ministry? Absolutely not. Another challenge we can face with our devices is the ease of sharing music and the ability to listen to music that no one else can hear. It's private. What kind of music would Jesus be sharing or receiving with his device? What would he be beaming to his disciples' devices? Would it be cheap, feel-good music, music with no commitment? Would it be music, performance music that was designed to draw crowds? Or would it be soul-satisfying, nurturing music, upbuilding, that carries out his purpose? I believe we know the answer to that. If Jesus had carried a smartphone. Another area we're challenged with is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. In this device itself, we can be challenged with that, just the device itself. Status, features, in and of itself, it can become a distraction and a big focus. But beyond that, it gives us the connection to pretty much whatever the world has to offer. Would Jesus linger over that advertisement banner? Would he search for suggestive or immoral content? Would Jesus follow the sports scores of the local team? Would he look curiously or longingly at the fashion models, the celebrities? Would he be impressed with all the specs of the new, latest, powerful truck and the horsepower that he has? Can you imagine Jesus being just really impressed with that? Wow. All its extras, all its design, its power. How much of Jesus' paycheck would he deem worthy to spend on the device itself, on the plan to keep him in full connection all the time, to have enough data for all his needs? How much of his paycheck would he deem worthy to spend on that? How many hours a week or month would he feel it's good and proper and right and profitable to dedicate each month X amount of hours to support that device and its financial demands? Would Jesus yield to the pressure to regularly upgrade to the newest device to keep up with Peter or John or Nicodemus? Are these relevant questions? Are we disciples of Jesus? Another challenge we face is the challenge of social distancing and fubbing. Fubbing is a relatively new term. I don't think it has hit Merriam-Webster's yet, but phone snubbing, which is pretty much social distancing, which is also before we knew the term as social distancing, but we've been social distancing ourselves for some time now, before COVID. in being here with Brother Brendan and being with somebody in some other part. That's social distancing. And we've been facing that challenge for a long time, being in the close proximity of somebody physically, but being miles away. How much time would Jesus invest in distant relationships versus face-to-face relationships? I think it's very, very clear that Jesus would invest the vast majority of his energy into face-to-face relationships. And he would be extremely careful about the long-distance connections at the expense of discipling his disciples. Now, would he use it to disciple people across the distance, to encourage people? Very likely. But the percentage of time invested, I think, would weigh very heavily on the face-to-face. Because that is where real relationships happen. That is where real encouragement happens. That is where real learning happens. Real connection. We're very glad for the connections we can have living several thousand miles away. We appreciate those connections. But there's nothing like being together. And the world has gone increasingly. And I wonder if that's part of the devil's ploy, but has gone increasingly to distancing people from each other. And I was struck with that when I walked into a Home Depot recently and the self-checkout. And I remember being struck with that years ago when they first came out. But the fact that you do not relate to somebody, you do not talk to anybody with an eternal value, with an eternal soul. You talk to a machine, or you listen to a machine, and you might answer it. And earbuds, and just this increasing isolation, and now even with masks and social distancing, and all of this, isolating people as little islands from each other. It seems the world is going more and more to that. You live your life, I live mine. Don't touch my life, I don't touch yours. And it takes effort for the church to build real relationships. And even to build real relationships with people who have not learned to do real relationships because of social relationships, social media relationships. There are many young people, and well, not only young people, there are many people who really don't do real relationships well. But they may have dozens, scores, maybe hundreds of friends electronically. And there's a challenge for us as disciples of Jesus to cross that barrier, to resist that, and to build real relationships with people. I believe Jesus would have done that. We're also challenged in the area of transparency. Would Jesus mind if his parents or brothers flipped through, or his disciples flipped through his phone? Or before handing it to him to use it, would he have had to make sure he quick deleted one of the last messages? Or make sure some app is in some secure place, some obscure place? Would he have figured out the ways to get around the app filtering and blocking features? Would Jesus have done that? Jesus taught transparency. Or would he have welcomed them to check up on him? Here's my phone. Here's my music. Here's my browsing history. Jesus lived a transparent life. Should we do any less? And then the final one that I have that another challenge we face, and I put it as the teddy bear slash special blanket. Often, small children have their teddy bear or their blanket that goes with them to bed, perhaps comes out to the living room in the morning, perhaps gets drug around the house during the day. When they're extra insecure, run for the blanket, run for the teddy bear. I think sometimes we as adults have our special blankets, our teddy bears. For some of us, it's this device. For some of us, it's something else. For the alcoholic, it's his drink. For some, it's the hobby. For some, it's... it can be many, many things. Remember, Jesus taught that true rest is found in him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When you feel insecure, when you feel restless, what do? When you are bored, what do? I know what a lot of us do. We can't stand in line more than 3 minutes, and does it become our teddy bear? When we're frustrated with life, where do we turn? When things just didn't go well that day. How much mindless browsing would he do to distract himself? Would Jesus find comfort in his phone? What did Jesus do in the Garden of Gethsemane? He didn't distract himself. He begged his disciples to pray, and he went and prayed. And that's where he found strength. That's where he found comfort. That's where he found security. If Jesus had distracted himself with his smartphone in the Garden of Gethsemane, would he have been able to make it through on Calvary? Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I know Jesus was God, but Jesus was human. And you and I, as disciples of Jesus, are we following his pattern? Are we following his teaching? Are we following his example? That's the challenge. And I'm continually challenged as I pull it out, after looking at this subject, as I pull it out, and there's sometimes I just put it back. Sometimes I hang on to it a little bit, but then I put it back. And sometimes I fail. But I'm challenged with that thought. Jesus lived life with a purpose. He did not just live life by default, just as it came. He lived life with a purpose. He had a purpose for his life here on earth. And he's given us a purpose for life on here on earth. And I am convinced that if Jesus had chosen to carry a smartphone, whether or not he would have, I don't know. But part of that choice would have been the whatever reason he would have chosen, in choosing whether he would carry a smartphone or not, Jesus would have decided that based on whether or not he could further advance his purpose on life, his God-given purpose, whether or not he could have advanced the ministry God was calling him to, that he came for, to serve. That would have been a deciding factor. It would not have been, well, because my friends in Galilee have it. Everybody in the synagogue has one, so now I'm going to get one. That would not have been the deciding factor. It would not have been whether or not, well, I can afford it. So carpentry work paid well. I can afford it. I think it'd be nice to have. I believe Jesus would have considered whether this is something that will help him or hinder him, whether it's something he could master or not, whether it would benefit the purpose that he was called to. I believe Jesus would have used his smartphone in harmony with his character. What we search, what we do with our phones, reveals a lot about our character. And Jesus, what he would have done with his phone, would have revealed his character. And we know his character. And I think he gives us a pretty good idea how he would have used it. I believe he would have used it with a purpose. I don't believe he would have used it simply by default. Jesus would have used his device as a means to an end, not an end in itself. And so in conclusion, would Jesus have used his smartphone just like you use it? I've already given the answer to my challenges in that. But I think that should be a burning question in our minds. Would Jesus have used it as I use it? Am I using it as he would in my situation? But unless we have a greater purpose in life, unless we have a greater yes, we cannot say no. And we have to have a greater purpose in life, underlying purpose of following Christ, of being a disciple of Jesus, of fulfilling his work. That's the only way we can begin to use it as he would use it. So I'd just like to challenge each one and encourage each one. I know that there are many here who face the same struggle, who face the struggle with handling this. Some have come to a comfort level. Some of us are uneasy. And I think it's good to be that way. I'd just like to challenge each one. Let's be free from the entanglements, free from the snare, the deceit, that the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of life, the distractions of life, that they do not become the hand or the foot that offends us. That we'd be willing to step back and give it up if we see that it's becoming a detriment. And let's follow Jesus' steps. Let's follow Jesus' example, his teaching, and his character. May God bless each one. Let's kneel for prayer.